while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So today's theme, synopsis, is asking us the question, are you that somebody? Are you that somebody? And I'd like to read just a snippet of the synopsis, just for us to get a little bit a hang, just a reminder to us. So it says, Jesus told us that he came to seek and to save the lost. So what does it mean to be lost? How lost is lost? Lost enough that Jesus gave up heaven to be a man. Lost enough that Jesus stayed on the cross. He paid that price for somebody that was lost. Today we are asking, are you that somebody? So I want to ask you that question today. Are you that somebody? Can you just turn to the person next to you and just ask them, are you that somebody? Are you that somebody? I think regardless of where you sit, that question probably lingers and you're thinking, not sure. In this day and age of information, we have so much knowledge at the tip of our fingers. Yet, with all this knowledge, it seems that the world and the condition of humanity is regressing more and more. We are more lonely than ever, more suicidal than ever, more fragmented than ever is our society, more unfulfilled than ever, more restless than ever, the poor are poorer than ever, there's more disease than ever. And with all that is happening, people are feeling more and more lost. And with all this happening, people are feeling more and more lost. Now, the question, are you lost, is addressed to all of us, regardless of whether you are a Christian or not. I think it's a question that we have to think about deeply when we think about how to answer. In Genesis chapter 3, the story of the fall, we know this is a classic. We all know this story, right? It's where we learn about the condition of humanity, and it is the moment when humanity disobeys God's direction and instruction, and we became corrupt and separated from God. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, humanity obtained the ability to choose what is right from what is wrong. Up until that point, it had been God's role to determine or to teach us and to tell us what is right from what is wrong. And this disobedience brought about condemnation, it brought about death, shame, guilt, and as a result, humans began to hide from God. Now, we were created to walk with God, but sin separated us from him. And from the time of Adam and Eve, we inherited a nature that pushes us away from God, and we are all born lost because of sin. Now, the Judean culture, in that culture, life is metaphorically seen as a journey. So life is pictured or described as a journey. So life is metaphorically described as a journey. And this theme is repeated throughout scripture. You find that throughout scripture, it's time and time again, life is described as a journey and God is described as the one who leads us. So we're finding our way somewhere. And throughout scriptures, even in the Old and New Testament, you see that we, humanity, are described as people on a journey, we're on a pilgrimage, and God is leading us and we're on our way to somewhere. And that journey ultimately is supposed to lead us back to God, back to harmony, living in harmony with God. But in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 6, It states that we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Now, this metaphor shows us how humans naturally stray from God's path. And we see in the book of Psalms 23, David describes God as our shepherd and we as sheep. And he leads us on our way and he provides for us. He's the one that is responsible for watching over us. But Isaiah here tells us that like sheep, we have all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. We've lost the way. We've lost the shepherd's direction. Like sheep, we have all fallen. The phrase, each one has turned his own way, highlights both personal responsibility and the universal nature of sin. It reflects how people often follow their own desires instead of God's will, echoing the story of humanity's fall. We also see this reiterated in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks to Jesus, the born again, me and you, we can identify as having been found. And we all know the famous song, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now was blind, but now I see. Now, when we think about who the lost are in the context of Christianity, it is so easy for our minds to run straight to the unbeliever, the one who has not yet known the Lord or encountered him as Lord and Savior. Such a person is not the only person who the Bible refers to or describes as the lost. Now, we are all familiar with the parable of the lost sheep, right? The shepherd who leaves the 99 flock and goes after the one sheep. I always ask myself, why is it 99? 99 is so close to 100. And it's so annoying. Imagine having 100 sheep and you lose 99. It's like having £1 million, but you lose that 1,000. It's like, why? Why? It's very annoying, right? And so for the shepherds in those days, the sheep were very, very important to them. Now, we find this parable in the book of Luke chapter 15, a series of parables that explain why Jesus associates with the lost. Now, Luke does such a wonderful job of highlighting Jesus' love for the lost. And in the context, in that context, the social outcasts are who the lost, are who Jesus describes as the lost, the marginalized, the unesteemed, the lower in class, the overlooked, the poor, the sick, the immigrant, the depressed, the mentally ill, the physically impaired, and the sinner. From Luke 15, we get three different parables, and I want to have a look at them today. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep. So in this parable, the sheep that is lost cannot find their way back home. This sheep was originally part of the flock. The shepherd in the days of Jesus saw the sheep as valuable property. They were seen as poor. They were underlooked. They were not respected in that society. Now, have you ever lost something really, really valuable to you? Have you ever lost something that's really, really important to you? Something that you hold dear, like your phone? Right? When your phone goes missing, I mean, I don't know about you, but when my phone goes missing, everybody's looking for my phone. At home, everybody's looking for my phone. Because your phone is a valuable asset to you. But can you imagine what it must have been like for the shepherd losing that one sheep? And so in this parable, the shepherd goes to great length to find the sheep. And Jesus compares the joy of finding that one sheep to the joy of heaven rejoicing when a sinner repents. Now, I want to just think about this sheep in context of today. You know, the Bible says that it was a lost sheep. And so the shepherd went after that lost sheep, that one sheep. He left the flock. But that sheep was originally part of the flock. And when I think about today's context, it makes me think about perhaps the believer who has strayed away. One who once believed but now has strayed away. The Bible says that the shepherd, Jesus compares the joy of the shepherd after finding that sheep. He compares the joy of finding that sheep as heaven rejoicing when the sinner repents. Now, the second parable we come across is the parable of the lost coin. The coin in this parable is worth a day's wage, and the owner has 10 coins, annoying again, and she loses one of those coins. Now, that coin is worth one day's wage, one day's worth of work. That coin has fallen, she's lost it. And this owner is desperate to find the coin. And the coin does not know its way back to where the owner was, right? But this coin has great value to the owner. This parable represents the individual who is not saved, but does not know that they need saving. Another person who is lost. Now, the third parable we come across is the parable of the lost son. The son is led away by his selfish desire, and he holds his inheritance. So in this parable, it's a parable of a son who lives with his father and his brother. And the son is led away by his selfish desire, and he takes hold of his inheritance because he holds his inheritance of much higher esteem than his father. So he takes hold of his inheritance and he leaves his father. And the Bible tells us that he squanders all of his inheritance, but then he returns home after losing everything. And the Bible tells us that his father embraces him and takes him back. Now, my question to you today is are you separated from God? Have you lost your way? Have you gone astray? Are you that somebody? Do you represent perhaps a lost sheep or a lost coin or even a lost son? As we all know, it is impossible for us to assume the place of God. Determining right from wrong leads to perpetual separation from God. And when we turn away from God, when we turn from his way, when we turn from what he tells us is the right thing to do, we turn to our own way. And essentially, when we turn to our own way, we turn our backs to God. And then comes the shame and the separation from God. Even us as believers, those who know that God and Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life, those who know that God means well and that his word is what we should follow, we assume our own way of doing life, our own way to raise our children, our own way to do ministry and fellowship, our own way of honoring our spouse and doing marriage, our own way to succeed, our own way of living in this society as a Christian, our own way of dating, our own way to find validation, our own way of doing life. We turn to books, to social media, to society, to the advice of friends and family. We turn to our own heart, our own wisdom, our own way. No matter how good our own way may seem to us, our way does not fully align. When it does not fully align with God's way, it leads to separation from God, which ultimately leads to us being lost. And this is humanity's downfall, the downfall of this world. We make decisions that are opposed to what God says is right, and we continue to push him out of our countries, out of our societies, out of our church, out of our families, out of our lives. Maybe you're listening to this sermon today and you know something is missing from your life. Maybe you are someone who is practicing Christianity on your own terms, as though it were another religion. You want to have relationship with God, but don't know how to get close to God because there are lots of things in your way. Maybe possessions, maybe people, maybe family, maybe it's just your own heart. I want you to know that Jesus is running after you. He is seeking after you. He wants to save you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the path that leads to God. Maybe you are listening to this sermon because you stumbled up on this sermon. Maybe you just stumbled up on it on YouTube, or maybe someone invited you here today. Maybe you're part of a different faith and you see Jesus as just a good teacher, but you are curious and you want to know how to know Jesus more. You want to get close to him. You're curious about this Christian faith and something is pulling you in. I want you to know that Jesus has orchestrated this moment for you because he is calling on you to come near. He died for you that you might come to know the truth, that he loves you and is drawing you to himself. Jesus wants to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants to quench the thirst that you have, that yearning that you have to know the truth. Maybe you are listening and you are a believer who's struggling with sin and you're ashamed and you don't know how to stop sinning or how to stop doing that thing you know disappoints God or how to walk away from sin. Let me tell you today that Jesus wants to set you free from bondage. Romans 6 says that he has overcome sin and he wants to set you free. Our scriptural text for today is the story of a man named Zacchaeus. Now, for those of you who went to Sunday school, you're probably thinking of that song, right? Yeah, go on. Zacchaeus. Yeah. Was he? Right? To see. All right, Babs. Someone has found her way back. Classic technology, right? My notes have gone a bit funny on my screen, so just bear with me as I find my way back. Amen. Now, you know the song. Babs has sang it for you. And if you don't know the song, just ask Babs at the end of service. She will sing it for you and teach you that song. But you know, they call him the wee little man, as if wee isn't little enough. But they add the little to the wee. Seriously. Now, little Zacchaeus, a man, although short by stature and was not by status, although hated by the majority in his community, Zacchaeus was a rich man by way of profession. During the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire had colonized Judea, and they were heavily taxing the Jewish people, which caused much resentment amongst the Jewish population. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in Jericho. I could translate his role as a subcontractor for the government, for the Roman government. Now, if I want to put it into context, he was the person in charge of taxes. Right? Does that get a bit closer? And we all know how we feel about people who are in charge of taxes, right? We love them with the love of Jesus. So you can imagine how people must have felt about Zacchaeus in his day. Now, Zacchaeus was a man who was a chief tax collector. So he wasn't just a tax collector. He hired people to collect taxes on his behalf. So he's the person who hired the tax collectors. In Jesus' day, tax collectors were seen as traitors because there were people who worked for Rome. They often cheated their own people. So Zacchaeus was cheating his own people. He was overtaxing people. He wasn't just taxing people the normal rate. He was adding a rate to that rate. And then he had another rate to pay off the people who were collecting the tax. That was Zacchaeus. That's who he was. He was a man who was seen as a cheat, a scammer, a tax collector. Yet when Jesus met Zacchaeus, he didn't condemn him. He sought him out. Jesus called him by name and went to his house. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was so short, people would stop him from trying to see Jesus, from trying to talk to Jesus, because you know how they felt about him. You know, someone like Zacchaeus doesn't deserve to be saved, doesn't deserve to come near the Savior. He was a traitor, a sinner, an outcast, right? But even in the midst of that shame, even in the midst of that guilt, Zacchaeus fought, and the Bible says he ran ahead and he climbed a tree. Now, I thought about the context of this. Zacchaeus climbing a tree. I thought, you know, what kind of tree was this? But apparently a sycamore tree is a tree that isn't too tall. So it was short enough for little wee Zacchaeus to climb. So Zacchaeus climbed the tree, and the Bible says Jesus stopped what he was doing. He stopped everyone. He stopped on his way. And Jesus addressed Zacchaeus by name. And he invited Zacchaeus to come down. Zacchaeus was lost because he didn't, not because he didn't know God, but Zacchaeus was lost because his heart was far from God. The Bible talks about a series of things that happened before Zacchaeus met Jesus. And just before Zacchaeus met Jesus, Jesus had healed a man who was blind. A miracle took place. Zacchaeus was convicted in his heart. He knew that this was the Savior. Something happened in his heart. Something switched. He realized that the riches that he had were empty and could not fill the void that he had. The validation that he was seeking, he could not find in the riches that he had. Zacchaeus was lost. He realized that everything he had been chasing, doing things in his own way, wasn't what he ultimately needed, wasn't what could save him from that humiliation of being a wee little man. And I can imagine in that day, being a short man, you know, in those days, you know, strength was everything. And so being a short man already was a problem for Zacchaeus, right? And I know some of us can identify with Zacchaeus, finding all sorts of things to try and fill that void, that emptiness that we feel inside, trying to find validation in the things that cannot bring us true validation, just outwardly validation. And even that validation is null and void. Amen? The process of sanctification is a lifelong endeavor, and we will stumble and struggle and fall sometimes and wander away. But God is a faithful shepherd. It's not too late to turn to him. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you would open the door and let me in, I will come and dine with you. Isn't this the invitation that Jesus gives to Zacchaeus? Today, I will come and dine with you. I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Zacchaeus was struggling. He didn't know what way to go. Who could he turn to? Even the people that he should have turned to for advice, the religious leaders, they turned their backs on Zacchaeus. The Bible says that they judged Jesus for wanting to go and dine with Zacchaeus. Do you know why? Because eating fellowship in that day, so you going to someone's house to eat with them, was you approving of that person. So it was a huge thing in those days. So Jesus was approving of Zacchaeus, not of his lifestyle, but of who he was. Because inherently, as a person, Jesus loved Zacchaeus because he knew Zacchaeus. The Bible says the Lord knew us even before we were made in our mother's womb. He knew who we were. So it wasn't because of the deeds of Zacchaeus. Jesus did not look at those things. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. God is faithful. He's a faithful shepherd. It's never too late for anyone. No one is too far gone for God to save. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. By a single offering, What does this mean? That it means that Jesus dying on the cross and him being resurrected is more than enough. By that single offering himself on the cross, he perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We are being saved. And in the context of today, when we talk about the lost, we are being found. We are being found. So I don't know where you are on your journey, because I know no one is perfected. The Bible says that we will be perfected when Christ returns. I don't know where you find yourself in your journey, but I want you to know that Jesus is running after you. I don't know where you are on your journey. Maybe you are where Zacchaeus is. Lost. A lost sheep. Don't know your way back. Don't know how to return to God. Maybe relationship with God is something that has become really, really hard for you. You put on a front, you come on a Sunday service, you sing, you dance. But when it comes to intimacy with God, you find it difficult. Can't open your Bible when no one is around. Maybe that's you. Maybe because you filled life with so many other things. Relationship with others. Maybe it's riches. Maybe it's wealth. Maybe it's career. Maybe it's success. Whatever it is that has filled that void. Whatever you have placed in the place of God. The lost coin. Maybe you don't know you need saving. I want to tell you today that Jesus died for you. If you are listening, I don't know who you are, but I want you to know that he's seeking after you. He's frantically looking for you. He wants to find you. Open your heart to him today. He says, I knock on the door of your heart. If you would let me in, I will come and dine with you. Maybe you're the prodigal son. Maybe physically you're with the father, but in your heart you're far away from him. Maybe you've wandered off. You're seeking God's hand, but you want nothing to do with his face. And maybe you've realized that the things that you sought after, those things cannot fulfill you. God wants you to know that he loves you and he wants you to return home. So what can we learn from the story of Zacchaeus? If you identify with all of these things and you want to be found, the first step is to admit to yourself that you are indeed lost. It's a hard thing to admit. But all it takes is just a minute of self-examination. Where am I? Am I following God? Am I following his way? Am I heeding to what he has asked me to do? What was the last instruction he gave me? Am I actually walking the way he told me to walk? Or have I gone my own way? Is my heart far away from him? Maybe physically, I identify as a Christian, but in my heart is different. My lifestyle is different. My mindset is different. The way I do life is different. The first step is to admit to yourself that you are indeed lost, and then confession. The Bible says when we confess our sin and accept Jesus' sacrifice, he exchanges our sin for his righteousness. We belong to him. When we confess our sin, the Bible says that he exchanges our sin for his righteousness. When we confess our sin, the Bible says that he exchanges our sin for his righteousness. It's not anything that we do. The Bible says it's simple, it's humility, it's confession. What happened to Zacchaeus? He climbed the tree. In that moment, it did not matter, chief tax collector or not, he climbed that tree. It didn't matter to him in that moment. He would do anything to reach out to Jesus. Zacchaeus did not only climb that tree, but the Bible says that he said he will restore to all those that he had stolen from 40-fold, which was more than what was required. So in those days, if you're stolen from someone, you will restore them 20-fold. But Zacchaeus went far and beyond that. There was a transformation in his heart. It was something that was automatic. He did not have to do it. God did it on his behalf. You see, Zacchaeus met with Jesus. When he confessed his sin, I don't know what happened to Zacchaeus, but when he climbed that tree, that was an act of humility. He humbled himself. And in humbling himself, there was a change of heart. There was a transformation in him. Zacchaeus was lost, but then he was found. He was blind, but then he could see. It's all because of the grace of God, not because of anything he did. The distance between us and God is a gulf that we cannot cross on our own. But when we place our trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a bridge is built. It's a supernatural thing. Through God's grace, the love of God, the lost can finally come home. I want to ask you today, are you ashamed? Are you afraid? Have you strayed away from God? Are you lost? If so, then you no longer have to continue in that state. It's as simple as this. The Bible says, humble yourself, confess your sin. He says, I knock at the door of your heart. The fact that you are here today, you're alive, is reason enough for you to know that the mercy of God is yours. The Bible says that his mercies are new every single day. Every day. Every day that you're alive, his mercies are new. His mercies are new. His mercies are new every day. Every day. Every day. He says, none of the sheep that you've given me will I lose. They are mine. You're not too far gone and it's not too late. Turn your heart to Jesus. Invite him in and he will come and dine with you.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.